Welcome everyone to the council workshop of November 15th. Debbie, will you please call the roll?
Sure. DeGeronimo?
Here.
Grandel?
Here.
Narducci?
Here.
Tagliati?
Here.
Tracus?
Present.
Bavorka?
Here.
Walchanowicz?
Here. Well, today's agenda, again, it has one piece of legislation, as well as the ongoing discussion of the 2023 budget and getting that together. And we have some of our department heads here. So we delve right into ordinance number 2022-161. Mayor, would you like to maybe?
Brief narrative, if you don't mind.
Yes.
Thank you. Ordinance 2022-161 has probably been in the making for the past 20, 30 years. It revolves around the Concordia Lutheran Church property, the section of property behind the church that they don't need for their congregation. We attempted to buy this property in 1999. We came up one vote short because we didn't realize it needed a supermajority at the time. The goal for this property is to allow us to come up with a housing product we don't have today. Single family, maintenance free. I don't have all the answers, but if we don't take this first step to acquire the property, we don't have to worry about answers because there won't be any questions to ask. There are several different opportunities. Concordia has different people who want to buy the property, and we happen to be positioned appropriately. They'd rather work with the city than another developer. Builder, and that's why we have the opportunity to acquire this property and create our own destiny for a segment of the population that for the last 20 years I can attest to the fact that we've lost a number of good residents because we didn't have a housing stock available that accommodate their needs. This is not going to solve all the housing issues in the city. We're not going to accommodate every need that we have. Right now, we have nothing other than single family and big lots. And what this is going to do is provide an opportunity. If we do our due diligence, this by buying this property or entering into an agreement to allow us to buy this property, the property will not be purchased unless we complete our due diligence and everything's in order. If that fails that test, then we will rescind the opportunity to buy and won't be purchasing it. If, in fact, we go through the due diligence period and we determine it still it meets the criteria that were established by the congregation and the city, then we'd be able to move forward and complete this transaction and begin the process of developing this property, bringing in a planner, plan it properly. We have to do it in phases. We do it in phases. But without the property, there's no discussion. So. Just tired, I guess. All these years I've been hearing about people leaving the city, don't want to leave the city. We don't offer any alternate type of housing. And so this presents that opportunity. And so this is presented to council because the only people that can buy and sell property in this municipality is city council. It's my job to tee it up and provide these opportunities or a member of council, but in this case, it's already, the congregation has voted unanimously to support the purchase. So it's now a matter of our decision now. And what this allows us to do is begin our due diligence period. And then we would come back and council, planning commission, zoning board, residents, everyone would be able to participate in the next phase, which would be determined how many units we could have, how we want them planned, what we want planned. That's not for tonight, because without the property, there's no opportunity. And so once we get the property and we go through the due diligence period, and then we can engage a developer or a planner that can help us plan this property, then we would engage the residents and those that would be interested in helping us advance this opportunity. So tonight is purely an exercise in buying the property, or at least putting ourselves in a position to buy the property. If in fact there's a problem, it's a moot point. But if it's not, it's an opportunity to, for our residents to stay in the city and provide more opportunities within our city. That's the goal. That's the vision of the goal.
So Mayor, you look at it as far as timeline goes, once this, or if this gets approved, and there's a due diligence period and things of that nature, you're probably looking at the planning period sometime next spring or summer?
First quarter of next year would be the time, I would say, that we'd have the planner come in, make a presentation to the council, to the planning commission, to the residents, and then we could all weigh in, and because it's on paper, that's the time to change or modify or agree to something.
But this does not need a vote of the people as far as the kind of housing option that you...
No, the way I envision it would be done through variances, smaller lots, single family, maybe one and a half story. So you can, and the maintenance free on the outside. So you'd pay your quarterly dues, you'd have your building, your property, your house, and within the framework of what we still have in our city, which is single family dwellings.
Any questions for the mayor from council?
Mayor, you did state that once we get into our due diligence period, if it meets the criteria established by the city and the congregation, then we will purchase it?
Yeah, the purchase agreement that was signed that we're looking at tonight.
So that's the criteria?
That's just to purchase it. The important phase would be then, once we get the property, property's going to be an investment one way or the other. From my perspective, if we own it or somebody else owns it, we can always sell it. Eventually we would, but I mean, it'll be under real control of the destiny and have an influence over the future of this property rather than someone else having it. So once we complete that phase, then it would go, the planner would then present how they see it to be best laid out. Council, myself, the residents, within planning commission, zoning board will all have the opportunity to weigh in to come up with the best product.
So you envision that number like workshops hopefully?
Yeah, absolutely. That's the only way we're really going to define who wants to be here, how many can be here. I'd be afraid if we have more opportunity than we have availability. It'd be a great problem to have, but if that happens, then we'll have to figure out a mechanism to a lottery or something if that happens.
Is there any possibility of connectivity from this project or this land to the property that the city already owns that's north of Stone Road?
There is frontage on Stone Road, and so the access on Stone Road, which is adjacent to the property we own on the north side of Stone Road. But I wouldn't say it's the same type of product that would be in the downtown area. But that'll be determined, to be determined.
Because I was thinking this became popular and there, if we'd extend the opportunity to the other property that's north of, at least the back property, not talking about the front, the back property.
There was housing, keep in mind that the couple of the plans that were presented over the past decade envision housing in the back of our existing property, the baseball field and the north and east side of the existing property in downtown area. So there's opportunity there also, but different product.
Any other questions of the mayor from council first?
I guess as far as diligence and what we know so far, I know we don't have all the answers. But do we have an idea, I mean, what's actually buildable on this site as a percentage of acres, or?
We won't really know that until
we don't know.
You can do some creative things, but realistically, there's enough flat spot to be able to see. Let's find out. I don't have all the answers. I just know that this is something that's been on the radar screen for several decades, and it's an opportunity to... My vision is to have the people that live in this city stay in the city. We don't have, we're losing them to Rexville, Broadview Heights, McIntosh. We lose them to across from St. Basil's. We lose them to Richfield. And there's no reason. We we can't see if there's an opportunity to some, keep people in our city.
I guess from the, just from the site looking at it, I know there's some wells and didn't say there's any environmental issues, but if we go through the diligence and you say, well, realistically, we could only put even smaller units, let's say there's 12, you know, whatever, I don't know. Is that, is that meeting your expectations as far as like?
The economics have to work because this is a net zero for the city from my perspective. This isn't something I want to make money on, but it's not something we're going to give away. It's going to be a, to me, a net zero or pretty close. Our job is to plan. Our job is to create an opportunity for our city, whatever we're doing, whether it be on Rockside Road, Pleasant Valley, residential subdivisions. That's part of our responsibility. So I see this within that framework of municipal responsibility. Look and explore at the opportunities, and if it's an investment that makes sense to keep people in the city, make the investment.
So then the role of the city, do you think it would make sense for a developer to come in, or a city could build a road?
We could, but I think we've had several conversations over the past 10 years that I think best if a developer who can help add some additional information, experience. All I'm looking for is an opportunity to keep my residents in.
I don't go too far, but I'm just, you know.
Absolutely. Well, that's good. It's good for everybody to have this dialogue. It's hopefully I answered your question.
Yes.
I don't know what that number is, where we walk away, but a planner would help us define that.
Yes.
Dale, you have some questions?
Right. Well, I guess one of the big questions is, goes along with what you were saying, is access. You've got to have sanitary sewers, and storm sewers, and a road, and related gas, etc. Who would bear the responsibility for that? Because I know we've had discussions in the past even about bearing utility lines, and the cost is astronomical. And so beside the $485,000 for the acquiring of a property, then we definitely have a major cost. If you would come in off of Stone or you come in off of 21, where would we likely make those tie-ins, and at what anticipated cost? That we, like you said, if we're going to try to do this as a wash, we'd have to pass the cost along.
Just it'd be similar, Dale, to a developer coming in like they did Pulte's, like they did most of the subdivisions in the city. They came in and they got the city approval, and they absorbed the costs associated with that, the infrastructure. So I don't see anything different along that line, and I'm assuming that when we planned our sanitary sewer system, we took all vacant land into consideration. So anticipating it would be developed someday.
But that goes along with what John said. There's possibility of 12 units is a lot different than the possibility of 35 right. units.
We won't know that until we do our due diligence and explore all the possibilities through a professional planner.
There's also been some conversation about some property to the north, and based on the cost per acre of the church property, that could be another $250,000 potentially. Is that a reasonable?
I don't know. I don't know basis for that number, but whatever it is, it is whatever the fair market value is, that's what it would be.
And what is the time limit that we, that council would need to act on this particular agreement, as far as there's a time limit that we would need to act, is it? Like
you're authorizing the purchase of this property with this ordinance. The due diligence period is based on, I'm not sure if it's 60 days, 90 days.
60 days.
And so our goal is to see within 60 days if we can get some answers from, in terms of infrastructure and some concept of what we could have there.
Can we get some of those answers before we commit? I mean, it seems to me to be a little backwards if we're going to commit and then get answers.
Why spend the money if you're not gonna commit?
You're committing to purchase of the property. What you want to do with the property after we acquire it, you could just turn it around and sell it if that's what you want to do. But that's council's decision.
Mayor, is there a time, I think Dale's trying to get, is there a time that we have now to pass this legislation?
Yeah, I think it's this week in order to keep to allow us to begin the due diligence period.
And we've never had our engineer look at this parcel and look at utility tie-ins and look at roadway access or do an overlayment.
Sure, we have a.
So we have done some work.
We've done some, just a cursory review, nothing that I would give to you and say, hey, here's the layout. We did that just to see, does it make some sense? And so other than that, no.
Because I'm pretty certain that when developers buy property with the intent to develop it into individual lots and subdivide it and sell it off and build, they do a thorough economic evaluation prior to purchasing it to ensure that they're going to profit from it. And we're kind of just going into this blindly, which is somewhat concerning to me.
Well, we actually, they come to the city and the city reviews everything they want to do, so.
Right, but before they purchase a parcel like this, they would run the numbers and make sure that they can actually build it and develop it. And we haven't done that.
No, we don't. This way, if we're being told the truth, there are other real estate related entities that have offers on the table with the Lutheran Church for more than the $475 that the city would be paying. So that kind of infers that they've done some due diligence and they feel the value is more than what the city's paying for it.
And do we have any idea what their end objective with the property would be?
Who's?
These other offers that are on the table that are higher than ours?
Develop the property. They're not gonna sit and look at it. I don't know if it's one house, 10 houses, 30 houses. I think this allows us the opportunity to stay in the game to make sure that we're doing something that's gonna be good for the people of Independence. And so if in fact it doesn't work, you know, we just put time and effort in planning like we always do. If it works and if you keep people in Independence, then we all win, the city wins.
And have we looked at the access onto Stone Road and if it's even feasible to have a roadway coming out at the top of that hill, which is a blind spot to accommodate the houses that we potentially could put in there?
We know that frontage is on Stone Road. There's an opportunity. Most logical place would be to come in off of the city's property, the old Fort Lynch property. If that's the case, we'd have to get 170 feet from three property owners adjacent to the Concordia Church property. No houses, no taking anybody's houses or their, I think the properties that would be in play would be, they're 800 foot deep and the standard lot in the city is 215. So it provides us the opportunity, an alternative, but that'd be, I'm gonna leave that to planners to tell us what the best way to do it is, not try to anticipate or preempt someone's vision that does this for a living.
But if we can't get the rear of those three properties on the south side of Stone Road, then we're limited to egress on Stone Road, correct?
We have to, that's why we're gonna bring a planner in. That's why we're going to explore our options and opportunities. I said at the onset, we don't have all the answers, but we have this opportunity. Without the land, nothing else matters. There's no other, there's no sense doing any more due diligence, bringing any planners in, end up letting someone else decide what to do with this property. So,
is there a potential sticky wicket if we purchase the property and do determine that it's not feasible, and then we want to turn around and sell it, but the contract indicates that the Lutheran Church has the right of having three units in play? Is that potentially a problem?
The only reason that part of the deal was if the Lutheran Church, if we build a subdivision there, the developer does, they would have access to three of those units for their congregation, members of the congregation. That was part of the criteria. We also have a first right of refusal on the remaining property, the church itself. We We did that to protect the city long-term from another congregation, another group coming in and try to utilize that property. So we put that into the contract. We have the first right of refusal. If in fact they want to sell their property or merge with another group and move that out of the city, we have the right to purchase the remaining property, which would give us a different type of access, different opportunities, but that's not part of what we're doing today. It's just part of the agreement.
Does the Lutheran Church have any overstriding limitations? I know a Methodist church is required to attempt to sell to another church group before they can sell to someone. Does it work that way with the Lutheran Church or not?
Back in 1999, we thought we got it bought. In 1999, we met with the congregation, they voted, and we thought we went home Sunday, that Sunday, with the council and myself went home thinking that we had bought the property. And found out the next day it was a super majority, took 60% of the voting congregation members to buy the property. I can tell you that they reported to me that 100% of the congregation voted to sell to the city of Independence. I'm not sure that would have been a vote for anybody else, but it's their land.
Yes, thanks, Mayor. So a couple of things, and just kind of from the conversation. So I understand what you want to do and try to accomplish. I guess I'm just thinking there's a way we can give them a letter of intent and then plan this thing out, get public input, get the views of the neighbors, get the views of the community, and then get some developer input as to what they think they would do, and then purchase the property. I mean, if there's a way we could do it that way through a letter of intent, I guess I think that might be a little bit more of a process that would be traditional to the community. So in other words, when we have these types of developments, people come to the city and then they come to the planning commission and, you know, they make their proposals. I guess I would like to try to see that, if we can get that accomplished first, so then, you know, then we can know what we're getting into. And if we might potentially buy this other part of the property, what's the value of that? I mean, I guess there's some... that we're getting pretty close, and obviously understand what the goal is and support what you want to try to accomplish. But we also should get, I think, a little bit more public input, as well as some of those details put together. What are we going to cost for roads and sewers and that type of thing? Is that going to be our responsibility? Can a developer absorb that? What's the end, you know, what's the end game from the city's perspective in terms of cost? I think those are some open-ended questions that can be easily answered, and perhaps we should go that route, and then we could have a comprehensive conversation on it.
Well, we could have done a letter of intent, we'd have been easier. But the fact of the matter is, they have a rigid group of the rules that like we have. It's not as though they can. I would say that this has been going on for. When did we have that meeting to talk about purchasing this property? Was it 6 months ago, a year ago? I can't remember now.
That'd be early this year.
I think it was a year ago.
Before the pandemic, I was still discussing.
It was with the previous council.
Yeah.
So that was, we've been working on this for, that would be over a year. So it's not something that just created in a vacuum. And, you know, there are a lot of these questions to be answered. But the property is still the property. The property is where the value is at. The property is where, without this property, there's no sense wasting any time or money. And the property is not going to devalue based on this purchase price. But I think we control our destiny. We protect the neighborhood. We protect and we create this opportunity to keep it for our residents. And we're not going to be in a fight for somebody to tell us what they want to do with the property. So that was the advantage of doing it this way, rather than waiting for somebody to come in and then they tell us what they want to do, and if it's inconsistent with what we want, then it creates a problem.
Mayor, how many questions will be answered by that due diligence period of 60 minutes?
Well, between the due diligence period, we'll have the answers in terms of the infrastructure. We'll have the answers in terms of, I'm not sure we'll have all the planning answers. That's not going to happen. And I won't sit here and tell you we're going to wave a magic wand to get it done, but but it'll put us in a position to close on the deal. And then we, then there's a lot more heavy lifting to do. I'd say whoever said appropriately, the first quarter of next year would be the time we'd really be getting into the nuts and bolts, so to speak. That was the input, the questions to be answered, all the infrastructure. I would say those will be meetings that will be held and information distributed the first quarter of next year as to how and what we're going to do. And I don't see this, I don't see anything happening functionally until input from the residents the first quarter of next year.
I was just probably during those 60 days, would there be something that we'd have some studies done that might give us a red flag and say, hey,
that's the purpose of the 60 days. If we come up with something, the engineering group, FACTS, comes up with something, or our planning or our building department comes up with something, that we'll go back to the congregation and we'll tell them, this doesn't work. Our vision or the goal of our was to create housing for our residents. We've been transparent with them, and that's why they sold it to us. In fact, we hit a red flag or hit a wall, we're going to stop. We'll go back to them, and if it's something that's insurmountable, we won't sign the deal. But without your authorization, I can't do that anyway. But I don't want anybody to be misled here tonight. If you authorize this, we are in a position to close and buy this property. You guys know me well enough. I'm not going to tell you something that's... If you authorize, we're going to make a deal. If there's a problem in that period of time, we'll take it off the table. We'll either bring it back to council, and we'll bring it back to the congregation without their support and modifying the terms of the agreement. There won't be an agreement.
So there's a good chance that, I mean, like I think John mentioned or Dale, that you know, after the 60 days, we find out maybe there's only 10 possible lots there, however, it makes no sense to go forward with.
Well, this. It makes no sense to go forward from our perspective.
For the city. And someone else might want to.
We'll share with them what we found so that if, in fact, we do not close on the property, that they can give it to whoever they want to because the property is still going to be the property. But if we hit a wall, or so to speak, or a problem that's created that it's not good for us, we can't accomplish our goal, then we won't sign a deal.
So there's potential after those things. I mean, say that we do a engineering study and everything, find out that there really is no access out to Stone, and we have a little better idea, then council can revisit that and say, hey, this doesn't look like this is going to be something that we can work with, and not go through with it at that point after the 60 days, because that gives us more, at least more professional information that we can finally see. So,
but at least, but here without this property, there's no discussion today, at least.
And if this isn't agreed to by council this week, does that open up the church to one of the other suitors?
Yes, we won't have a deal, and that's just the way it was practiced. We needed 60 days to do some due diligence. We're not going to buy a piece of property without exploring engineering, without understanding what we're dealing with. And so we needed some time. So
first, there'll just be a deposit, $10,000 into escrow.
Right.
And then the 60-day period to do our due diligence, have our professionals, they have our engineering department, what other experts we need to see if, you know, there's some problems with this. Then at that point, the city and the council will be notified on what the realities of this is.
Yeah, so we're going to close or we're not. You're correct. That's great, Vice Mayor. We're going to close or we won't close. If we close, the heavy lifting begins to start assembling all the information, getting input from all the people in the neighborhood, in the community, all the professionals. But first 60 days is where we really see if we get a wall, so to speak, or don't complete the deal.
Will the weather be any kind of problem? I mean, 6 days is not going to be prime, but we need to get working right away to make to see if this is workable for the city, if it makes sense.
Yep.
And we'll be honest. If the terrain is such that, you know, you can only build you know, a handful of houses, it makes no sense to do this. But if it, you know, comes back, well, the potentials for 25, 30 homes or that, that would make more,
well, that's
more sense, more of an impact on the city.
Absolutely.
Yeah, just a quick question. On Article 5, there's information available, publicly available to us, and several of those are oil and gas leases, oil well completion report, drill site location right away, which I understand is on the existing church property. Any of these oil and gas folks have any easements on the property that we are considering?
There is on the Concordia property?
Yeah, on the Concordia property, I know there is, but there's also.
The only properties have some leases also.
They do have some leases.
Yes. And it's talking with some of the neighbors, they're not productive anymore. They're not really productive, so I'm not sure what their status is.
I'm sorry, I didn't phrase it properly. So on the property that we are considering buying, are there easements for oil and gas?
There are gas wells on the property, yes.
So there has to be an easement for the gas company to access that wellhead.
So that would not be something we could develop, obviously. Do we happen to know how much of, what kind of square yardage or anything like that?
No, that's all we're gonna find out.
Thank you.
But it's all, obviously, it's not something that prohibits development. If it's prohibited development, we wouldn't waste our time. We wouldn't be wasting our time, so. Does not prohibit development, yes, that's your question.
Okay.
Is there any precedence with the city doing something like this before? The city buying property, owning, and then turning it into residentials in that developer role? Has it been done before? Or it's a residential?
Commercial.
Commercial, yes.
So that's exciting.
Yeah.
It's a new opportunity.
And then, I guess, number two, related to wording in the ordinance itself, the first paragraph, allowing residents and recent former residents to have the opportunity. I know we talked about that as a goal. I don't know that that's enforceable. I don't know that needs to be in here. If we can't enforce it, should it be in there? I get the goal, and maybe we'll just go over that and talk about it, but in the role we're in, does that need to be in the ordinance?
I think it's clear. I think it's in the ordinance because that's the goal. And we're being transparent in terms of our goal. Our goal is not to just, you know, put a subdivision. If we can't keep residents in our city, or get some back to our city, then it deflates my interest in trying to do something that's good for the city. That's one of the criteria.
To respond upon that, Jack, when we contemplated the Fairmont deal some years ago, in the memorandum of understanding that council approved, it indicated that they would hire a local real estate person. And the discussion at the time was with the intent of having local people signed up to buy some properties. I don't know how many. I mean, they had 80 properties or something. They had all of them, they said, sold out. And through this mechanism, they were independence people who were trying to buy, sell homes and then buy here. So while it might be aspirational, I think when you put that in legislation, it kind of sets the record to whoever type of a developer you want to work with, and that's what the expectation is here. And so, you know, can you say, I'm going to refuse you if you live in Garfield Heights? No. Could you get a list of people from independence ahead of time before you build and have their deposits done? I think you can do that.
That was for the first floor. After the property was purchased, the second purchase would be open to the highest bidder.
There's certainly deed restrictions to say that there's preferences for residents.
Absolutely. That's why we're here. And that's from my perspective, I've been 20, 30 years of working on this. There's people in this room that have talked about leaving the city. There are people in this room that have talked about, why don't you have some housing? Why don't you have some housing? Well, here it is. Here's an opportunity. Is everyone going to be happy? No. Is everyone going to be able to live here? No. But this presents an opportunity that's consistent with our goals, which is to take care of our residents. You know, if we take good care of our residents in terms of keeping them in their homes, we've been very fortunate from a city standpoint. There are people that, you know, raise their family. They no longer want to live in a two-story house and a multi-story with a master bedroom upstairs, and it doesn't work for them. Reminds me of McDonald's when people were very upset about McDonald's when we looked at that many years ago. And then, and then after we put it up, build it, they went to work there. See them in the window. It's like we failed three times for the Civic Center. We finally got it passed, and I never found anybody that voted against it. So this is just another opportunity to, and no one's being, everyone's going to have an opportunity to weigh in. All the neighboring residents, all the people that would like to stay here, council has to obviously, and planning commission, and our professional staff, as well as these consultants we're going to bring in to help us. So that's the goal. I mean, we can sit back and do nothing, and then we'll still answer questions next fall about why we didn't have any housing and why we didn't do this. And then some people might say, why did you do this? That's okay. I'd rather have that discussion than miss this opportunity and say, you know, well, I don't know what would happen because we didn't take the risk. We didn't take the chance. I do believe that if we buy this property, we won't lose money on it if we're able to sell it. So it's an investment from my perspective.
Any other comment? You have anything?
No, it's one comment. I mean, the land is going to sell regardless if we buy it or somebody else buys it. If it doesn't work for our purpose, meaning if we can't make it work with 25 to 30 homes, somebody might buy it and put up 10 homes that are multi-billion dollar homes. But we don't know that option. So, but, you know, land's getting scarce. And if we wanted to do, if we want to have a place for our residents to go to and live and stay here, we're running out of space. I mean, what else are you going to do? You're going to throw them in the middle of, you know, Rockside Road down there with all the industry and the buildings and stuff? I mean, this is, it's a perfect opportunity, I think, to accomplish one of the goals that we have.
Excuse me. I agree with Tommy, but I think what I like the most is we have the 60 days. You know, we vote on this today. That's allowing us the 60 days to really dig deeper, whether it's infrastructure, how many homes. You know, it kind of gives us that overview, and then the decisions ultimately made after the 60 days. So, you know, the way I'm reading into it, voting on this today just allows us to further find the information that all of us have been wondering or asking, and then the decision's made. So
I feel more comfortable having that due diligence period, yeah, because there are a lot of questions we have to find out, and the possibility of how many homes we're going to be able to build back there, the access, whether we have access to stone or not. There's a number of questions that what effect does the mineral rights, the oil and gas?
I can answer that one. They keep the gas roads.
I see. Now, do they get gas from that?
They get enough to keep the church going.
Nice.
They keep it going, but it's not something that's overwhelming.
Oh, the church owns that house. Do they own the house too? That's right.
To the south.
South. Yes. Yeah. Yes. I agree with Chris. This gives a chance that, you know, that hopefully 60 days from now we'll have a lot more information, relying on our experts and what we need to, you know, to determine, right, do we move forward on this or. The worst case that can happen, if we decide either environmentally or economically it doesn't make sense, then if this if we don't go forward at that point, I think that the $10,000 that's in escrow, would that be?
I think it's return of 50.
I think it's a city in its sole discretion. The buyer is not satisfied with the due diligence, then we have a right to terminate and get the money.
So basically what this does, it gives us a 60-day window to be able to have more information, be able to provide more information for not only council, but for the residents.
It makes the church, happy that it makes, move, yeah, forward, and we're going to do, sure, this. So
I don't know if there's any, entertaining a few questions from the audience. Yes, sir. Please state your name too, so that our
My name is Jeff Kuhlendahl. I live at 7426 Stone Road. My property is one of three that the mayor has indicated are key to accessing this project. for public record, I don't have proxy, but I can tell you that I have spoken in depth with my neighbors to the east and neighbor to the west, and none of us have any interest in selling any of our property or this project. I have so many questions that I don't even know where to begin, but one of them relates to the access road on section 4.5. It states that there will be an access road to the real property, to the northern property line, and you can leave the rest of it. If none of us want to sell our property, it's a moot point. That cannot be accomplished. Why is that in this agreement if it cannot be accomplished?
I believe the access road and the north property line that that's referring to is the remaining north property line where the church is.
But if you look at the map that you provided us last week, if anybody has not seen that, I'll be glad to share that. It is impossible to reach the property that is being purchased without our government. Please explain how you're going to accomplish it.
Well, we have access on Stone Road.
Has anyone on council looked at the property access and at the crest of that hill to determine if that is even remotely safe?
We will determine in the next 60 days the best way to access this property. And then we'll be able to go from there.
Have you looked at that property line? Has the engineer in the city determined that it's possible, given that there is...
That's what we're going to do in the next 60 days.
But why would you enter into this agreement without even doing it with due diligence?
Because what if, how many times have you entered, anyone entered into an agreement, or didn't have an agreement, and you invest time and money and energy on something, find out they won't sell it to you, or somebody else bought it? So what this does is locks the opportunity in play. Doesn't give them an option to get out if, in fact, we want to go forward. There's no sense us trying to put all this effort into something if, in fact, they wouldn't make a deal or sold it to somebody else.
You have been working on this for 20 years. You've had 20 years to do due diligence. Why haven't you done it? It
costs money to do that.
What about our own engineer department?
It costs money.
Just to send them over to look at the property.
How much has been spent on this
stuff? We cannot access somebody's property without permission
on this document.
If you go to the next provision, you'll see that they authorized us to get on the property. They authorized us to do
this. You didn't answer my question, sir.
How much money what?
Has your legal department spent on this agreement? I'd like to know the cost.
I don't know off the top of my head.
Could you tell us?
Sure, we can find out.
I appreciate it. I do have a few other questions.
What is the? Is there anyone else that has questions?
Yeah, is there anyone else? Because
would the city consider taking his property away by eminent domain? I mean, that's been discussed before with council and the mayor and with other properties. So,
I have a pretty simple rule from my perspective. I won't take any eminent domain property if the people's houses are on it. So if, in fact, you have property that has a house on it, residential dwelling, and I wouldn't take the house.
Oh,
and I had property, like I explained to Mr. Blumenthal here, yes, I know what it's like when the government comes and takes your property. So we had property on Stone Road. So...
All right, okay. I have to ask another question. There's an issue made that there's other developers that may be interested in this property. Is that correct? I mean, why wouldn't you give them the opportunity to buy the property? Because you control how the property is going to be developed anyways.
Not true.
That's just not true.
Just to answer your question real quick. What if they want to put four houses on there that are worth $2 million? That's not what we want as a product, though. We're trying to solve an issue that we don't have.
Well, if you do, the property value will go up, that's for sure, in place.
What do the citizens want? Well, I can just tell you, for a long time, they've asked for some type of alternative housing so they could stay in the city.
I remember.
What was that? Single floor housing to stay in the city.
20 years.
So all I can tell you is, we're going to find out if the demand is what we believe it is. I can see people, there are some people here that already know that this is an opportunity for them to stay in the city. And if we don't, they're going to leave. Well, that's good. Well, that's our job.
I'll be glad to meet you, sir.
Yeah, was it this week you've ever been up?
Sure. Hi, Peter Panzuti from Stone Road, 8103, my home, Gavin here. A couple points I'd like to make. First, I would like to see the city buy that property just so it doesn't get developed. You know, leave it in its pristine state, and even there's some primitive trails in there that could be, you know, kind of improved for people to use as a park. Second, you talk about having houses that people can stay in as they get older. Well, unfortunately, that's what's happening here lately, me too. But I was thinking that, you know, the property there at Cleveland Clinic, from my understanding, is that they're maybe going to be moving out and property's going to be empty. Now, that would be a property purchase to develop, have a housing development. And it would be very easy to develop since it's basically flat compared to the area that you're talking about. Because I've hiked through that area. There's a whole series of ravines. It's kind of marshy. Plus, just like the other housing development down there that had been proposed, there's always an issue of water on that hillside. And you will increase the amount of flow going downhill if you tear out all those woods and build houses there with roads. The impermeable surfaces will increase tremendously. Semi-permeable surfaces as well. And so you'll have more water running downhill towards the Blue Bowl somewhere, but a lot of it right through the ravine that's behind my property. Because when they tore out the woods behind the Cleveland Clinic to expand the parking lot there, I mean, the increased flow of water behind my house was evident. And so, I mean, that's a big issue with any type of development that's going to be going in on that hill. I mean, if you have the development up on top, it's probably more doable and being able to, you know, control it as far as the water flow up on that flat area where the Cleveland Clinic is. That area that you were talking about, the woods, although I would hate to see the woods gone, I mean, it's going to create other problems with water. That was a big issue Zis Brothers proposed to build. So, sounds great to have houses for the older people, and I understand that. But I think a better place would be the Cleveland Clinic. They move out. The city should look into purchasing that and putting it, you know, because that would be a lot easier to develop. Won't have the issues. Any kind of water, you could probably have like some kind of water retention there, which would be easy to build compared to on the slope and marshier down there on the south side. So,
I don't want you to be successful with your thought, by the way, because if we buy the property, you may be right. If we buy the property and we don't sell, we own the property.
Right. I understand that, but seriously,
to be perfectly clear and look me in the eye, that's not the goal. But it's a worst case scenario. We'd have that property.
Well, I really would hate to see those woods.
Look me in the eye. That's not the goal. Okay.
Yeah, it's not the goal to keep it. Right.
But if it happened.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, there's going to be issues with water. So.
But I also, that's an interesting point you make about the state's property.
I really think so that would be, like basically flat out already, you know, and, you know, it'd be fairly easy to lay off some streets and smaller houses you're talking about, smaller properties. So, I mean, if the goal is to put in housing for the elderly that's more practical and smaller, that would probably be the place to do it and save that property of woods back there, which is one of the last sections of woods in our town.
Well, if we buy it, we don't develop it, we own it. So,
anyway, wanted to bring that to your attention. So, thank you.
I don't want you to win that one, but I mean, worst case scenario, that's what it happens.
Development.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
My name's Jerry. I live actually next door to Pete.
Jerry Lassie.
Wait, I live next door to Pete. We bought our house in 2016, and since then I've actually seen evidence of what Pete had described as, you know, water retention and water flow coming downhill. One of the things that he's talked about and the evidence that I've actually physically seen is the water amount that comes down through the ravine. So this is one issue that I want to see, you know, investigated. Not only comes up at the top where you're talking about, but downhill all the way down to the canal. When we first moved in, over the years, few storms, major storms that we had with rain were pretty substantial, and it got worse every year. When we first moved in, we were worried about our dog going down in the ravine and getting caught in the washout. I was able to go across the river initially the first couple of years and not have to worry about water width, water depth, a couple 9 yards. The past 3 years, I couldn't even go down it with a rope and tie across the little creek with the amount of water. So in 2016, the amount of water that's coming down through there is substantial. I don't know if anybody here has ever actually gone down and looked at that since
then. I've got video.
Yeah, and I actually had taken video because I wanted to show the wife while she was working. I'm landscaping. I see these issues all the time with customers and you know, big-time people throughout the cities that you've discussed, Broadview, Brightsville, Garfield, the whole nine yards. It's an issue that's all over the place, not just here. I'd like to see that investigated.
Thank you for your time.
All the way down.
Our engineer is here, so he's listening. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Now,
Dr. Carl, what he said previous compliment. I recall when we had the Kemper plan, then we had after that, you were mayor after that, where you had 134 lost single family going toward to an acre and so on, and it was done without a resolution from council. The planning was done. We get citizens come in, we did it over the civic center. And here you want to go forward with nothing. You have no plans at this point. All you have is a commitment for $10,000 escrow and to do some planning. That makes sense. We put a lot of money into that. What have we done?
Let me ask the question, Diana. How many of those Kemper houses were rebuilt?
None.
They went through all that planning and they never did anything. With this, we have an opportunity.
You said we'll get with no plan. It's a big hole.
Mike, did you?
No, thanks.
Okay. And one last question, sir.
One.
Oh, we?
Yeah.
We can't give the plan to sleep. We'll give them plan.
Sure.
At the end of Hemlock Road, where it dead ends, the city owns quite a bit of property. Why is that not used?
For what?
For this type of project. You already own the money. You don't have to spend any more.
Well, we committed that property to the Hemlock Trail. So the access is limited now because of the Hemlock Trail.
But south. Trail, it's all open.
Yeah, but how you get the Hemlock Trail's right there, that area you're talking about.
But what I see on the maps, you could extend Hemlock Road all the way down without impacting that.
Well, actually, we used Hemlock Road for the trail. When you come through the old ravine, you come right on to the Hemlock Road. Then you go down Hemlock Road, so that trail is on Hemlock.
I see that game.
Then you see it.
I don't believe that's accurate.
Well,
I would hope that the city engineer or someone would check that out. To me, what we're addressing here are more questions than answers. And I feel that it is irresponsible for the city, given 20 years to do due diligence, to now proceed with 1 week to make a decision on this property without even knowing, well, I shouldn't say without even knowing, with knowing that you do not have access on the correct way.
We'll find out.
Because you have, I guarantee you, has zero access on the rest of the road.
We'll find out.
You know it already, sir.
But we don't need access off Drexel Road. We still need it.
Have you looked at a road with a man, pardon me, at the crest of a hill? I have had an accident backing out of my driveway because people come up that hill. And now we want seniors to drive on an access road in the middle of the hill.
This is no age restriction.
It has nothing to do with age restriction.
You just said it, Jim.
I don't consider myself a senior, but I am.
I understand there is no age restriction.
I agree with that.
Yes.
And I think Pam, yeah.
I'm Pamela Dengler. I live at 7714 Stone Road, and I have a couple questions. In the sphere of some people were contacted in the neighborhood, how many actually received a letter and had a conversation with the city?
I think the ones that received a letter were the people that potentially could participate in a phase two of this property development. It'd be the property between, with the people that have property on deeper lots on the square and the deeper lots on Stone Road. So the only people that were part of that discussion were the people that were potentially could have property in phase two.
Okay, describe what is phase one and phase two.
Well, again, let's put it this way. The Concordia property is what we have, so I'll call that phase one. Okay, the rest of it, to answer your question, was it would involve the people that had property on Stone Road and the square.
Does that make sense? Have you seen this illustration?
Just today.
Yeah, so then you know the property we're talking about.
Okay. The yellow would be the phase two is what I'm understanding.
Okay, so phase one, which is in the blue,
yes,
is what you would be looking at potentially building on right now?
That's the property that's on the table to purchase. Cool. It's a Concordia property.
Okay, but that area,
yeah,
that area back there. Okay. So, in this sphere and trying to be open and transparent and giving people in the area an opportunity, you know, there is always what comes first, you put the cart before the horse, the chicken or the egg. Means in the sphere of what we are thinking about doing at this particular point in time, to not contact a bigger scope of people, including myself, and I'll tell you this, is I have the longest property line of anybody here that is contiguous to that property. The only reason I found out about it today was via an email, not from the city, that this meeting was even about. I have a problem with when any of the council people, who I know numerous ones of you have ever even thought about this, asking anybody's opinion of in the area that's contiguous to this church property. If I was wanting to do something on my property, as far as building another building or changing something, I would have to be going through all the steps to get the permit to be able to do something. So in other words, the due diligence had to be done up front before I spent any money to have the building done or whatever else I was thinking about changing the property. You folks are thinking about spending $485,000 up front without it doing that due diligence of even just contacting people in the broader neighborhood. I don't consider that to be very open and transparent.
I agree.
So the bottom line is, so before anything's developed, before anything's finally finished, you will be part of that discussion. You'll be part of that discussion. All the neighbors will be part of that discussion. Because Will you have a veto power? Probably not. Will you have the ability to participate? Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's the one thing we can do is make sure you have a chance to participate. You want answers, everybody else wants answers. Absolutely, be part of that process. But we have to move forward to see if we can put something there that's going to be long-term good for the city of Independence. Someday that property is going to be developed. And it's the extreme to go, Peter, just to, it's either going to be one, three options. A developer comes in and builds what they want to build there within the city's, like that was said earlier, you could build a few houses right now. You can't stop it. But if we want to do something for the people of Independence to keep people here, that's an option. If we want to buy it and just sit on it and do nothing with it, that's the other extreme option. We want to take years to do something but control it, you buy it. That way you control your destiny.
And so in the documents that you've given to the people in the council, do you have an outline of what you consider to be the due diligence? In other words, how many different reports as far as environmental impact, runoff, and everything else, what do these council people have in front of them as far as the documents to know that of what I would consider the proper due diligence is going to be done in a 60-day period of time?
In the 60-day period, the engineer will have determined and given us information to tell us topography, to tell us drain water.
Is this in the document that the council people all have?
That's part of our due diligence.
Do the council people know exactly what kind of water they're going to get in 60-acre?
There's two things. Concordia's got to give us a warranty deed, title guarantee, gas and oil lease, oil reports from the Smith and Jack, drill site locations, miscellaneous distribution of statements of gas, mass energy. These are things they have to give us during that due diligence period. We, on our own, are going to determine from an engineering standpoint and from a planning standpoint, can we put enough houses? Can we do something here that makes sense?
So can you identify your staff exactly will be in charge of those reports that I can have that conversation with?
Don Graham, the city engineer. Economic Development, Jessica Heiser, Mike Giroux, Buildings Department.
Who's going to take care of the environmental impact?
That would be Don Graham's screen. That'd be engineering. Okay. But we will all participate. We get through that first due diligence period. Everyone's going to be part of the planning process. Everyone. Publicly.
What would you need from the citizens to convince you to either go ahead with this or not?
Well, first we have to do our due diligence and see if, in fact, it's feasible.
But if the citizens want it or don't want it, assuming the due diligence is done and it's a go, if the citizens say we don't want it, what would you need?
What they don't want to develop it or don't want to buy it? Because there's three issues on the table. Buy it to develop it, buy it to leave it dormant, or don't do anything. No, I don't know. That's why I'm trying to answer that.
I'm answering the question. If the citizens say, don't buy it, don't develop it.
Who are the citizens? Just to be clear. Well, here's a fair question. 7,600 people aren't going to make that decision.
Why doesn't it go to the ballot?
Because if it doesn't have to.
If there is significant objection, will you listen?
I'm always going to listen. I work for you, but I work for the entire city. And seven people here on council work for the entire city. You've elected them to make decisions. So that's what we're doing. We're exercising your judgment. We're trying to do what we think is best for the city of Independence.
if you hear significant objection, will you listen?
I'll always listen.
Thank you.
I'll always listen. Yeah.
That's council's job.
Well, it's council's job.
Yeah.
That's our job, is to have meetings and discuss these things.
Yeah, this will be short. I'm Dave Fainer, a guy with 8215 Stone Road. I think what I heard Greg say early on is, if Independence City walked away from this property, I'm not taking sides with the yellow. But if Independence walked away from property, Concordia has the right within the boundaries, the guidelines, and the city codes to sell it to a developer, and that individual can develop that property whether we choose to do that or not. Is that, that's what?
Absolutely.
Okay, sure.
It's absolutely true. There are two other people that we know of that, and that church isn't going to dance with us. They're not, they didn't try to make us match a number or do anything like that. They've been very transparent in terms of fair, in terms of, they recognize City of Independence is probably the best party to own this property. And that's why we have this opportunity right now. If it was purely money, we wouldn't be having this conversation. We'd be having a different conversation. And that conversation would revolve around, okay, whether they like it or not, they have rights to use that property, whoever buys it. And if they do, as long as they stay within the codes the city has established, we can't stop them. If they don't, then we can have some flexibility. But that they have a right to develop that property. And they chose us to let us move forward rather than make more money for somebody to develop it.
So then,
yes, and I think we're not going to go keep going around in circles.
How unmasked is the, how is that property now zoned?
Residential.
It's residential?
Yes, sir.
So then, just to add on that, Mayor, so if the city doesn't go forward on this, somebody else buys it, it's going to be.
Someone's going to.
Someone's going to have it. It's not going to stay the same.
But they would have the same problem that the city has with egress and access to the property.
Not necessarily. Not necessarily. You could go, you could today, you could drive right in the property on Stone Road. Now, you could, the degree of safety, that's a different discussion. But they have, you have legal rights to that property right now. So, yeah, someone could come in and decide they want to build on that property. They stay within the rules and the laws of the city, they can do it.
But if it becomes a safety issue, by egress and.
You can't, you couldn't tell somebody right now, if somebody else bought that property, you couldn't tell them they wouldn't have the ability to build on that property and use Stone Road as their access.
There's enough access there.
There's enough frontage there for them. There used to be a road decades ago. Yeah, there was. That's how they got into another property. A gravel road. I didn't, yeah, that's
a single lane.
It was a gravel road. Which one's, what's a driveway? It's a gravel, it's a road. It's a gravel road.
I will say that if there are two entities that are interested in purchasing it, add me to the list. Good morning.
I understand.
Well, you can buy from the city if we don't decide.
Hi, my name is Betsy Green. I live at 7904 Stone, and I just want to be clear on, there's going to, if this plan goes through, there will be at the most 35 homes.
We don't know that.
Well, I'm just for the discussion.
30 homes.
Right, right. Okay. And they'll be single family, and they would be, the city will run the property.
No. Absolutely not.
So who's going to?
We'll sell it to a developer.
HOA
fees, so that when you buy in there, you're going to pay your fees. Because mark my words, people in this room will buy that property given the opportunity. Trust me.
So then the city would not have anything to do with that.
No, we have a vehicle. So I said the goal. I'll say it again. I have one goal: keep Independence residents in Independence.
And the city employees would have to take care of the property for these people.
However it's set up with the developer, that's how we'll do it. But there will be I envision a fee, because it'll be exterior maintenance. Nobody will be responsible for the outside of their houses like we all have today. That's one of the different criteria, but we don't have today.
And a secret would be, I mean, you don't know the numbers, but could a, I mean, your idea is for seniors to live there, or people who want a single family.
Well, Mr. Little, he said he's not a senior, so I guess we're not, as long as we're not seniors, it doesn't matter.
But it's still gonna probably be, what, $300,000?
Oh, at least. Yeah, this is not for everyone. Just the price, especially with the price points today.
Right.
Prices have gone up 30% in the last year, so.
Yeah, I just wanted to be clear on who's gonna run it, who's gonna.
Yeah, we are not running it. We are the vehicle to put it together. We're the vehicle to put it together, let someone else build, manage, be responsible for, and yeah, Jim.
Jim Schaefer, I'm at 7702, I'm right next to that property. My question is, I'm not sure I understand that with you. Aren't all these concerns with due diligence? In other words.
That's part of the process, the whole process.
It confuses me as to why we're, that's all part of due diligence, correct?
Every question is part of due diligence, absolutely.
So what we're concerned here is the voting on the property, not all these concerns that they have.
That'll be determined later on. Yeah, absolutely, good point, yeah, absolutely. This is about the property, all the other elements will be discussed. I think first quarter, my opinion, if this goes through, we get our due diligence period, and we move forward, all these discussions and these questions that you just created will all be part of that discussion. No one will be left out of that discussion. Because we need input. Good or bad, I don't, if it's positive or negative. That's how you create something that finds balance, and you find something where you find some common ground. Not this polarization, far right, far left. Find some common ground that we can live with. Not everybody's gonna be happy, but at the end of the day, if it's good for the people of any posture, that's the direction we're trying to go on. If without this today, this piece of legislation, there is no opportunity. Okay?
Well, it'll be an opportunity, but for somebody.
Won't be for the goal of keeping any kind of people in any kind.
Ma'am.
One real quick question. All of you sitting at the table, and Don, also you, how many of you have actually walked this back part of the property?
Well, it's not a fair question, because some of us who were here years ago, we did it as part of a tour around the Blue Hole and coming up kind of that way, so we all did that.
Okay, so only two of you. Don, have you actually had this property? The back part?
That's part of the problem. It's private property.
That's
part of the problem, by the way. Would you want someone walking through your backyard?
Okay, now.
So in all fairness, it's not fair. We did it as elected officials, okay, when I walked.
Correct.
So, but would you want somebody walking on, I wouldn't want somebody walking on my backyard.
But
you wouldn't either.
If you were thinking about buying this property personally.
Excuse me, but now we can walk on the back of this property, because we can do our due diligence.
If you were walking, if you were thinking about buying a piece of property personally, would you sit there and be penning a resolution right now to buy that property without even having set foot on it and looking and walking on the property that you're thinking about acquiring and developing?
Yeah, and she said what was right. This resolution is only to authorize you to give them $10,000 to talk to them for 60 days and then walk away if you want.
Right.
You can walk away.
We're committed, though.
This is a purchase agreement. Council has the authority to authorize the purchase and sale or disposal of the
property. We're only after they do the due diligence.
Right. So, this is our opportunity to vote on it. Once this vote is complete, the city will enter into this purchase agreement. The decision will then be made by the administration.
No, that's not true. That's a little. That's narrow. That's a narrow mind.
So we're going to come back to council
You think we're going to not make a decision without having input? I know how you're going to vote, so I'm not worried about that. But the bottom line is, the majority of council should have an opportunity to review this. Yeah, so we will through the engineer's office.
So we'll have a second vote on
this? No, you won't have a second vote, but it'll be an informal vote, because I'll know it. I'll get a pulse of things. There'll be a pulse, believe me. Okay.
Worst case, say that this Doesn't go like you mentioned, I mean, it could be bought.
Walk away.
Or part of, or we hold on to it, it'll be part of a trail, I mean,
look at
the trails and stuff like that, because we talked about having a trail.
We have enough trails.
Well, that's up for debate too, we have enough trails, we don't have enough trails.
But this is gonna allow us to at least have the opportunity that we can go back there ourselves. And Don, maybe you could lead a, kind of an expedition back there for us to take a look and see what problems, potential problems there be, so. Because I think if we have four or five councils that look at that and say, wait, this doesn't look like it's gonna be, I don't think you'd go forward with a purchase if you have, if there's enough negative.
Put it this way, guys, $26,000 an acre. That's the purchase price.
How much is usable?
Doesn't matter.
We don't know.
You know what, it's 26, you buy me any land in the city of Benny Pass for $26,000 an acre, please do.
What was the appraisal?
Please. It was, I don't know off the top of my head, Mike.
Okay.
It was less than this, they negotiated this up.
Okay.
Did you have an appraisal?
But the appraisal was done years ago, so, but this, they look at, they told us what they wanted, okay? And we were within $25,000, and that's how we made the deal, so. It's a willing buyer, a willing seller, and maybe a willing buyer. But the bottom line is $26,000 an acre. You can't buy any penniless land for $26,000 an acre. And so if worst case scenario, we buy it and do nothing with it, it's better than leave it in the hands of somebody else to control it for that kind of money. And you can debate that all night long, but to me, it's a business deal. And our business is to take care of the people of Benny Pettis, but also protect the people of Benny Pettis. And that's why you have a mayor and seven council people. So, okay, but you know what, with all due respect, Vice Mayor, can't keep going back three times, four times to, you know.
No, we'll take two more questions, then we'll close the discussion.
Will we hire an engineering department as budget assessment, or will you?
I think what we're capable of, right, Don, you'd be able to, our department would be able to, some you might have, like environmental, you might have that experts handle that part.
We have some.
So there won't be any other engineering firm that may be involved in this?
Well, if we have some of our experts that we bring in, our consultants, we're not, if we don't feel comfortable, then we can always bring them in, sure.
Okay.
To get the best, to make sure that we're comfortable with that decision.
Don's built a network of engineers that, depending on the expertise and that you'd be able to call upon. And you know, and we have.
Yeah, with all the concerns of the folks on Stone Road, notwithstanding, I would like to say a few things that on the other side of the coin, I am one of those people who would be interested in exploring this property. Just observing council here tonight, I've seen a lot of toe dipping into the water. Ooh, it's too hot. No, it's too cold. No, it's too deep. I would like to see council take the risk and go forward with this plan to explore what can be done with the property. There is nothing to lose. So I want to be a voice to encourage you. I think you can do it. Let's take the risk. Let's find out together what can be done with this property. Let's stop the toe dipping and take the risk to swim.
And getting back to as far as whether we want, I mean, until there's something, you know, that we have in writing, there's no use walking the permit. And now we know we have this time to personally look and make sure, you know, in our own way, what, you know, what's capable. And again, I'd like to, Don, if we're able to go with either you or something from your department to be able to get a good idea and ask the questions at that point. But we ask what the due diligence is for.
Absolutely. We made the three options that were presented. Do nothing, let somebody else come in, and then have these discussions without the same criteria. Buy it, do nothing, buy it, do something. Two of the three, we can manage that. The people that you elected and your input can influence that. Without this opportunity, and put the toe
choose two of the three options. And then, well, in the blue hole, we used to do that, but I mean, that was years ago. But you know what? We control our own destiny, at least. We influence our future of the city this way. Without the property, somebody else will be here doing something not going to happen.
Very well, I guess at this point, we're ready to entertain this piece of legislation. Do we have a motion for title only?
So moved.
Title only, second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
An ordinance authorizing the mayor to enter into a purchase and sale agreement with Concordia Lutheran Church for the purchase of real property located within the city.
Motion suspend.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. I make a motion to adopt.
Second.
Debbie, call the roll, please. We have questions? Good questions.
How long do you anticipate holding this property before we turn it over to a developer?
That'll be determined by how long it takes us to get all our questions answered and to come up with the best plan long-term.
But Mayor, you're looking short-term, not
This, not the goal is to have meetings starting the first quarter and begin exploring all the different options and opportunities.
Well, this is a little different. It being residential, it's not going to, some of the other properties the city's purchased over the years, we bought it and it's still in our hands, but this is something that the intent is the opportunity for residences of this nature.
Yeah. Keep in mind, with, you know, the schools, the city's bought property for decades. If our forefathers wouldn't have bought the property, we wouldn't have the schools where it's at, we wouldn't have City Hall where it's at, we wouldn't have the Civic Center for sure. And so we buy property. We buy it to either clean things up, we buy it to either give us an opportunity in the future. And I know one thing my great uncle used to say, they're not making any more of it. So for $26,000 an acre, you're not going to find land in the city of any pest for that amount of money.
I guess, any other questions?
The one discussion that was had was regarding the reluctance of the South Stone Road residents to sell their rear yards. And what I heard from you was that you will take property as long as there's not a residential dwelling on that property. Can you explain what mechanism you would do that?
I'm not going to premature and talk about anything until I see the engineer's report and see our opportunities, see what the planner would recommend.
But currently, with the way this property is configured, there's no access to Rexville Road.
That doesn't mean we can't go back to Concordia and use a joint road on their property. So there are options. Some people haven't thought of them, but we have.
Yeah, so I just said
it's going to be based on
making
what's best.
Residential development that is supposedly high end, and you're going to run it through a church parking lot.
Well, you know what? What's that? Nobody said that. Well, you just said that.
Well, you said through the Concordia property, so
I didn't say where.
With limit.
And I didn't say what the options were. You're forming conclusions based on
the map.
Your perspective, where you see things going. So.
Yeah. Right.
Well, time will tell that answer too.
Okay, I guess. Any other questions?
Just remember one thing for the record. This was designed to help keep Nepenthe residents in Nepenthe. And without this opportunity, that's not going to happen. With this opportunity, at least we have something that we could sink our teeth into and quit losing good residents. And some of them could be you. So. It's not a good position to be in over the last couple of years to see people leaving because we don't offer a product that we don't have in the city. And so just the answer for everything, absolutely not. I don't want anybody to walk out here thinking, oh yeah, we're going to have housing for everybody. Wave a magic wand. It's not going to work that way. And is this the end of the line in terms of what we have to acquire? I don't know. But I'm going to look at the planner and do our due diligence and then we can determine a strategy.
Mayor, I've had my office here in town, you know, since the 1986. So I can family clients I've had that, again, voice the same. They would rather stay here, but they had to move somewhere else. you know, whether it be Drexel, whether it be North World and other communities. So,
you know, in your same boat.
And Mike, but I mean, he works here in the community and everything. I mean, Chris and your dad, Mike Farmer. So, I mean, you see that time and time again, and you like to have that opportunity. You see what Drexel has, you see what other communities have, and they're still perfectly, you know, excellent communities. We don't have that there. So
the easiest thing, Vice Mayor, is do nothing.
Oh, it's easiest.
The easiest job I could have would be do nothing. I could run the city and do nothing. But that's not leadership.
Right.
It's not always, it's not easy having to be responsible to make tough decisions.
And so unless you explore opportunities, I mean.
As long as I'm here, that will make the tough decisions.
Yeah. Very good. I guess then, Debbie, would I call the roll, please?
Sure. DeGeronimo?
Yes.
Grindel?
Yes.
Narduzzi?
Yes.
Tagliani?
No.
Tracus?
Nay.
Ververka?
No.
Walt Chanowitz?
Yes. It's adopted. Okay. Thank you for being here, Jim. I'm a little confused. You helped write the legislation. So we'll have to discuss that later.
He's still his toes in the water.
Keep your toes.
He's going to do that spot. So I don't know if we have much time.
The hard stop was pushing me.
We
just pick up on
Tuesday.
That's the place for now.
Yeah, I'm a little bit concerned.
Is there any more of these maps? There's a couple of
more
panels. Good night, mine, if you like.
Sounds like it's a good name.
Thank you. We'll do the best we can.
I think there's a we're probably going to end the meeting now at this point.
Yeah.
Well, let's stand back here. So we have something next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday
at 3 o'clock. Yeah.
Dave, can you get a motion to adjourn?
No, we have. I guess I just want to make sure let us entertain a motion to adjourn.
Make a motion to adjourn,
Chris, and second by Dale. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. So what we'll do is we'll have that meeting next week at 3 o'clock. And potentially,
hopefully, no other issues.
Can I shut this off?
Yeah. And then maybe
recording stopped.